you turn to Matthew chapter 5. He said, one Sunday, Miss Dunn decided to visit a new church. The sermon seemed to go on, and a few people in the congregation fell asleep. After the service, to be friendly, she approached a sleepy-looking gentleman, extended her hand, and said, hello, my name is Gladys Dunn. He says, you're not the only one the man supplied. I'm glad it's done, too. Oh, God help us. All right. So we've done with through the poor in spirit, for there is kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, and for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I did a study in the Old Testament to look every time you find salvation or righteousness, you usually find the two together. They're always together going forth. And I got thinking about this, and you can't find righteousness without God's sanctification usually being with it together and it's for our benefit. And if you remember, as you look through this, blessed and poor in spirit, you see your need of Christ. For there's, in other words, you are at the door where God can do a work with you. And then you're poor in spirit because you're broken about your sinful condition. And for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then you mourn about it. And then the meekness, your submission to surrender to whatever God wants. And then God develops this hungering and thirsting. You never had it there before, did you? You never had a desire to go to God's house. You never had a desire for God's Word. But the thirsting and the hungering come from God because He did something inside you. There's the key. You see the progression here? And it's amazing. I've read this several times before, and every time I read it, it just opens up more and more. And it's like, wow, God's Word's amazing. It is truly a live book. But as you see here, it says, they which do hunger. And I'm going to read you a few verses. First one's in Isaiah 45, verse 8. It says, drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. There's that word. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. Did you hear that? Drop down ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, created it. It's God's doing. It's His work what He does. And if you notice the word, it said, let them spring up together. There's righteousness and salvation. They are together. And then Isaiah 46, verse 12 and 13, it says, hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted. And this word stout-hearted don't mean so much as what we think. We think stout-hearted means someone stubborn, right? This word stout-hearted literally means someone like a bulls or strong ones, mighty, valiant, you know, stout-hearted. They're strong. They're determined. They're like David's men, the three men that would know David wanted a drink of water. And they said, we're going to go get him some. Whether it's our life, we're going to lay it on the line. They were stout-hearted, valiant men. And it says, hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. Listen, I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. There it is again. Righteousness and salvation. There they are together. Here's another one. Isaiah 51, verse 5. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. There it is again. Look at Isaiah 61, 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me. Now catch these words. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. What have you been clothed with since the day you got saved? Come on, someone spit it out. What have you been clothed with? What will I be clothed with in glory? Yeah, and in glory, I'm going to get a robe of white. Not because of my righteousness, because of His. Now there's a righteousness that we have imputed into us because of what Christ has done for us. But then there's a sanctifying part that comes from the inside out that helps us to live right, to act right, to talk right, to respond right, to see people not as trees walking, but to see them as living souls. That is put in there from Him. That's His. That's what He did when He was on earth. He seen the needs of people. Who can tell me what Jude said? The big, great verse that we need in our lives. And some having compassion, making a difference. It's when we don't have compassion, when the fruits of the flesh, there's our last lesson, when the fruits of the flesh are manifested in your life and they take rule and reign, they mop over, they mud over all what Christ is trying to do. They just mud everything up and make it ugly because the flesh comes up and shows itself. We get the outside right, and brother, I was the worst there was. Boy, I finally laid my leather jacket down, hung it up, finally put the cigarettes up, boy, and I got me a suit and a tie, man. I thought, man, I'm in now. And I was the most criticalest person you could ever meet. If you didn't read your Bible like you ought, boy, I was critical toward you. If you was missing church, if you wasn't there Sunday night, I said, where are they at? Bless God, I don't even think they're saved. I was critical. You're nodding your head, Brother Artie. Was you that way too? But as I growed, and here's the process, as I growed, part of that, I had to let God do a work inside of me. And realize, as I growed, there's always a reason. And not everybody's where this person here, this person may be strong in this area, and this person may be weak in that area. But this person may be strong in another area, and this person may be terribly wrong in this area. We're all on different levels and growing, whether 20, 30 years, but the key word here is growing. If you're not growing, then there's a problem. There's a problem if you're not growing. Another one, Isaiah said, He had clothed me with the garments of salvation, and He had covered me with the robe, there's that word robe, robe of righteousness. Isaiah 56:1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation has come near to come, and my righteousness to be, listen to this, revealed. Those are words when you see an Old Testament, it makes you point to Christ in New Testament, knowing He's coming. See, you gotta realize when this was written, He ain't come the first time yet. But they knew He was. He's on His way. It was in the mail. He was coming. And thank God that He's come. Now, taking it a little deeper, hungering and thirsting after righteousness means to yearn after God's favor. Listen. His image. Now, here's a fancy word for you. It's fancy for me because I'd look it up. Felicity means intense happiness, bliss, delight, cheerfulness. Felicity. God's felicity. His happiness, His peace, His contentment. Inside. Now, if you're saved, every one of us here, if you're saved, we have that inside of us. And it ought to be manifesting itself out. Not one full of judgment and criticalness. Those are fruits of the flesh. Bible says, if this I say, then walk ye in the Spirit, and ye, what? Shall not fulfill the fruits of the flesh. So, and we know there's, well, I'm in the middle. No, there ain't no in the middle. You're on one side or the other side. Has Elijah said, and I've said it before, he said, how long ye halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal, serve him. Jesus said himself, ye cannot serve two masters. Either you love one, or you hate the other, or you hate the other, and you love the other. It's one or you can't do both. And then we see in Revelations, and I'm going to say it again. He said, you're neither hot nor cold, therefore I spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick. Lord said that. You make me sick. I don't want to make the Lord sick. I don't want to have a judging character about me, a critical. I want to look at folks how Christ would have me look at them and have that compassion that the Lord had. And see a need and say, oh God, help them out with that need. And be seriously concerned about them and not be critical. Man, us Baptists, we are the worst. Oh my soul. I seen that more this week, and as I said in my testimony, I look back on my life, I was rotten to the core. I thought I was way up here and everybody else was on a plane. Gosh, I didn't realize what a pit I was in. I was in a pit. Pit of self-righteousness. Establishing my own. Doing everything. Everything else looked right, but inside, I was in a pit. Because that's just being honest. Confess your faults one to another. You be healed. I want healed with it. I don't want this crud in my head. So hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not so much of our ownness, but righteousness who has saved us and redeemed us from dead works. It will be found to be one of the sure signs that we are growing in this goodness. Now listen, that we shall have a thought, not of judgment, but of sympathy for those who may be still on the lower rungs of the ladder. In other words, newborn babes. You know what the worst things a newborn babe does? And even when you get older, you know what you do? You're looking at someone you think's weaker than you are, or you find their fault. Maybe they got a slippery tongue. And you pick it out. And you're the first one to condemn them. Well, I ain't that bad. Mine's just here. Theirs is down there. Is not that us? But if we fail in one point, we have failed in it all. And so I have just slowly just stepped on the other side of the fence, and the whole time I'm supposed to be on the Lord's side. And I've just stepped over on the devil's side. At the same time, I know from Scripture, I make him sick. I know I can't serve two masters, and I'm trying to serve two. I know I'm not obedient. I know I'm not walking in the Spirit of Christ. That should be our goal. Now the key word here is... How much time I got? Ooh. All right. It's walking. Walking. If I'm not walking in the Spirit, what am I doing? Walking in the flesh? Or, another word, I'm gonna use Isaac for an illustration. He's good. When he don't get his way, what's he do? He falls down. And he starts wallowing in it. I know Christians that do that. They wallow in it. And it shows your maturity level in our spiritual life. We ought to be growing as we grow and learning how to walk in the Spirit of Christ. When something happens, if it offends us, stop and say, Lord, help me with this. The Spirit of God ought to be able to help us deal with it. Or you have a temptation in your life and you're tempted to do wrong. And you ought to be walking in the Spirit where the Spirit of God is helping you. And you're doing it enough to where you realize the difference. And you know immediately. It's like sitting there and your brain thinks something, sis, you shouldn't be thinking about. Or you're being critical and all of a sudden you go, oh, I shouldn't think that. And we've been there. Because you catch it. You catch it before it becomes a gun. Because when you squeeze the trigger, what happens to the bullet out the end of that barrel? You can't get that bullet back. You've done pulled the trigger. Boom! Who was it, Brother Kevin? He goes, that's why they call it shooting off the mouth. That's what it is. Because you done pulled the trigger. Bam! You done pulled it. You shot. So learning to walk in the Spirit, it's one of those things we learn. And this here, hungering and thirsting, helps us to walk in the Spirit of Christ. Allowing Him to have full reign, His thoughts, His desires, His hopes, His dreams going on inside of you. Not your own. His. His will for your life. His thoughts for your life. It's sad to think. I know of a church that started with the argument over cutting a piece of pie 6 ways or cutting it 8 ways. 8 pieces or 6 pieces, who cares? But it started there. And neither one of them was walking in the Spirit of God enough because it started there and one of them said, no, it needs to be 8 pieces. It ain't enough. 6 pieces, who cares? And it became a conflict. Then they got mad at one another. Then they wouldn't speak to one another. Boy, and Satan's back going, come on, yeah, we were doing it now. Then it got to the husbands. They got mad at one another. Well, how dare she talk about you that way? You don't know what she said. She's so hateful. It was on. Then the kids is in on it. Before you knew, half the church was this family and half the church was that family. When you got that many, it was the same family. Half of them went. And it started over a piece of pie. A piece of pie. I like pie. That's one pie I detest. So hungering and thirsting. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And listen to the words. We say it all the time. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His thoughts, His image, His attributes, His thoughts, His feelings, not mine own. It takes me out of the equation. So when we hunger and thirst after His, God help us. Are we true? And the developing comes from Him. Once the hungering and thirsting are, you can feel it like you want. You can desire the things of the world, quench the Spirit of God, put yourself on a high rank, put somebody lower, and quench the Spirit of God. And it's all about hindering God's work. Or manifesting and enabling the Holy Ghost to have His will and way. That ought to be our desire. Hungry and thirsty after righteousness, getting glory to Him who died for us. That's what church is about. That's what living for God's about. Lifting Him up. That ought to help the hungry and thirsty. And notice the words our Lord used. He didn't use just mere words of just desiring, did He? He said, blessed are they that desire righteousness, for they shall be filled. He used 2 words. So ones we can agree to. Hungering and thirsting. Hungering, we gotta eat every day. I get thirsty every day. He used something you use every day in your life. And some of us more so than others. I probably hunger more than most of you. Fleshly speaking, but He used a term we can understand. But it was hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And not just any, His righteousness. And the blessing that comes, for they shall be healed. So you can have Him having His will and way in your heart. You can have Him, His desires. You can have His attributes. You can be filled with those things which glorify God. We can. Here's a key. Latches on your side. You can do with it what you will. And we done heard this morning, brother, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Bless God, we need to start being doers. Lord, help me be a doer. Not just a hearer only. For it changes our life. Let's pray. Father, dear God, bless your word. Help us this morning that we glorify thee. Lord, we need you so bad. Lord, we come so short of your glory. We know in your word all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. And Lord, we know that we are not you, but we have you in us. And as Paul said, I die daily. There is desire that comes inside him. And you said through desire man hath separated himself, seeketh an inner metal of all wisdom. It's a desire within us. Lord, help us to desire more of you and less of us, that you be glorified. Bless the preacher. Preaching, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.